Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and I am a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. My name is your name, too. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, thank you for joining us here at KTW. If you're in the Spokane area, we are on 96.5 FM and AM 630. American Christian Network affiliate, and to our live streaming audience out there in occupied territory outside the wire. Thank you guys also for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers, your encouragement, some great conversations this week. There is so much in the news cycle, it makes my head swim. I had a great pre-recorded interview this week with Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon, Christian author of dystopian novels. That's going to air next Wednesday. Talking about some of the challenges that we have today, we've got people in our government, or former members, calling for a coup. This is treasonous. Calling for a coup to overthrow the President of the United States. What a contrast from hardcore left-wing extremist communist to a right-wing conservative nationalist doing what we have all hoped for decades a president would have the guts to do, and he's doing it. So our nation is very strongly divided right now. There is a huge schism on several different fronts, actually, ideological, religious, political fronts happening right now in the United States. So I'm going to focus on something specific in this show today. During this weekly 30-minute blast, reviewing the headlines, making sense out of the confusing, swirling, competing, and conflicting ideologies out there right now, we're going to shine the light of truth on the lies. We're going to hold fast to our heritage and our traditional American values. This is the place for right-wing mainstreamists. Because when the adversaries are trying to make you feel like there's something wrong with you because you're the only one who sees the world is going insane and you don't want to participate, it's important that you remember you're not alone and you're not in the minority. Now, for some of you, the full realization may just be hitting you that the words of the Founding Fathers were actually true, and that is that the price of liberty, the blessings of liberty from our Lord, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. It's not easy. It doesn't come without a price. But the reward of the blessings of liberty are worth the cost. So today, I'm going to title today's show, Not All Muslims Are Terrorists, Not All Muslims Are Bad People. Where does this come from? What am I hearing John Jacob Schmidt say, not all Muslims are terrorists and not all Muslims are bad people? Absolutely, I'm saying that. You know where I stand. You know what that I've articulated, the threat that Islam is to not just the Western culture in general, but to American culture and heritage in particular. It is a threat that is on the threshold right now. But I do want to emphasize and share, because I know this is going to happen eventually, so I'm going to head it off at the pass. How many Muslims do you actually know? You're just a xenophobe. You don't want them here because they're different. They just disagree with your views. They have the right to practice their religion. Religious liberty You want it for you as a Christian, but you don't want it for them. You're a hypocrite. And in fact, you don't even know any Muslims. You probably never have. Well, I want to share a couple of experiences. My personal experiences with Muslims. And this is why I say not all Muslims are terrorists and not all Muslims are bad people. I have known several Muslims. I've never been attacked by one. I've never met a Muslim that was hostile toward me. My very first experience with a Muslim was when I was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as a young man in my early 20s. And I lived with my wife in a duplex off post in what we call affectionately Fayetteville, Fayetteville, North Carolina. My next door neighbor was a single male Egyptian Muslim. And we'd be out there barbecuing. He'd come over, he'd talk to us. At the time I smoked, we'd sit out there at night, watch the sunset and talk about all kinds of things. Smoking, talking, watching the sunset, talking about life, talking about politics. He never looked at my wife wrong. He was never disrespectful. He was very respectful. He was very cordial. I learned a lot about Egyptian culture at that time. And of course, at that time, Egypt was a huge tourist destination for Westerners. Westerners were very welcomed in Egypt. And he did not fit the stereotype of Islamic radical terrorist Muslim. He was very clearly Muslim. He was very respectful that we were Christians, had questions about it. We had some discussions and even some heated discussions, I would say, some lively contests of ideas, but always with a smile on both of our faces and exchanging ideas. We always shook hands and there was never even a hint of animosity on my part or his. Very friendly man, very respectful. My other experience, the next experience that I had was when I was in Desert Storm. I deployed with my unit, 3rd Special Forces Group. We were in Kuwait City. We had secured the U.S. Embassy, and we were doing guard duty, alternate with running a SIGSEN, a signal center. And we were conducting signal support operations for the ODAs that were still deployed forward north. So they had a lifeline to get out of there because they had not been extracted yet after the ground war had ended and officially ended. So alternating between doing guard duty and doing radio duty, we had some downtime. Across the street, there was a man that was probably in his 40s, an old man. He was ancient, had to be at least in his mid-40s. Of course, here I am in my early 20s. So he'd come across the street and chatted up with us while we're out there on guard duty. The nicest man you'd ever want to meet. Well, he had a lot of young people about our age in their 20s hanging out with them, coming and going from his apartment right across the street from this little compound that we had set up. Like you see in 13 Hours, that little compound, the walled compound, typical Middle Eastern. Some very wealthy people fled when Kuwait was invaded. And so we went in and just commandeered it. We took it over. Beautiful home. Right across the street on the other side was the U.S. Embassy. So that's where we set up our SIGSEN. And that's where we did guard duty. When we weren't over at the embassy, we were at the compound. And then we were meeting these local people. And we were the heroes. Bush number one, USA number one, thank you so much. And they would tell us the stories, the gut-wrenching stories of what the Iraqis did when they were occupying Kuwait. This man invited us up to his place for coffee, what they call coffee, which is not coffee. It's like syrup. It's like espresso on steroids. Went into his apartment. I met a couple of his other friends, younger friends. They look like Westerners. The girls were beautiful. The guys, they were, you know, fair, complex, not your typical, stereotypical Arabs.
There were Palestinians, in fact, working there and going to school in Kuwait City. Well, we started talking about politics, religion, world issues, world hunger. I mean, we were solving all the problems, and they were the nicest, most welcoming people, passionate about their beliefs, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. All of them, absolutely Muslims. This old man, and I wish I could remember his name, old man. This man in his 40s, the guy who owned the apartment, very humble apartment. When you walk in, the wall was covered with gold and platinum records and pictures of him meeting all these dignitaries. The guy was a famous Arabic folk music singer, songwriter. This is like the Billy Joel of the Western world. He was famous. And so he had a huge following, especially of young people, Palestinians, that he had befriended and touring, and that's where he lived. Well, there was a Palestinian community. I wouldn't call it a slum, but it was the more kind of rundown part of Kuwait City, where a lot of these younger Palestinians lived. They'd come over and we'd talk. Now, the first couple of days, I had my hand on my Beretta, sitting on the couch, and we were real kind of cagey about these guys, but they were very nice, never confrontational. They were grateful for us being there and liberating them from the Iraqi occupation. As it turned out, all of the young ones, the men and the women, they were all members, bona fide members, of the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And I asked them, what is your take on Arafat? What do you think of him? Oh, he is bad. He's doing terrorist acts, and this is wrong. This makes us look bad in the world. We do not feel this way. This is the way this must be done peacefully. Blah 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 blah. They wanted no part. They wanted him overthrown and removed because of the terrorism that Hamas was carrying out, and Hamas and Hezbollah that he was working with was basically bringing the whole world opinion was turning against the PLO. So we talked about Christianity. We talked about they couldn't stand communism, which, of course, Arafat was stood up by the communist Soviet KGB. He was a puppet of the KGB. They couldn't stand the Russians. They couldn't stand communists. They couldn't stand Arafat. This was very interesting for me. There were several times when we needed help with minor things. They jumped in and helped us. They're just very accommodating, the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. Very hospitable. I had a good experience with the Muslims that I had interacted with up to that point in my life. Disagreed with them, obviously, but I started learning more about Islam over the years. I also started seeing Muslims that were not nice people. They were sneaky. They were cagey. They were always, there's this exuded something that made you not trust them. They're shifty. They were withdrawn. They were just always deceptive. Most of those were the Saudis. We had problems with the Saudi Arabian soldiers. I didn't trust them any farther than I could throw our kukfi. And I realized, look, not all Muslims are bad guys and not all Muslims are terrorists. I disagree with them and I believe they are deceived. And that is why the Christian church, the underground Christian church in the Muslim nations are growing like crazy. It is growing so fast there. But see, even though these people are nice and I had positive experiences with these people, this is a pattern. Last week, I directed you to a video called America Under Siege, Civil War 2017. This is addressing and exposing the the communist and socialist anarchist influences over what's happening in the streets of America today, how we're being torn apart. We're being torn asunder. So last week was directed to expose video documentary on Civil War 2017, America Under Siege by communists, socialists, and anarchists from outside influences like ILK, like Soros, and others. This week, I want to direct you to three videos that I want to put up at Radio Free Redoubt as their own separate posting with these three videos embedded. Now, I have covered Islam before. I've always painted Islam in a negative light for a reason. I've never shared my positive experiences, and I've never, I guess, qualified my position on Islam with a balanced approach. Can't you say anything good about Muslims? Yes, I can. I've met some that were the most giving, accommodating, selfless, peaceful people I have ever known. But see, it doesn't stay that way. History bears out that Islam is not a religion. It is a total world system that also includes a sliver of that pie is also religion. That is what they use to advocate, to basically write themselves a blank check to flourish wherever they are trying to migrate to. And when they do, this progresses, bad things happen, and the culture is overturned that they are immigrating into. Now, this is something that we have to weigh as from a Christian perspective. But what Islam is not, here's just a small excerpt from it.
Islam is not a religion, nor is it a cult. In its fullest form, it is a complete, total, 100% system of life. Islam has religious, legal, political, economic, social, and military components. The religious component is a beard for all of the other components. Islamization begins when there are sufficient Muslims in a country to agitate for their religious rights. When politically correct, tolerant, and culturally diverse societies agree to Muslim demands for their religious rights, some of the other components tend to creep in as well. Here's how it works. As long as the Muslim population remains around or under 2% in any given country, they will be, for the most part, regarded as a peace-loving minority and not as a threat to other citizens.
Now, there are two other videos that I want to direct you to. This is your homework for this week, your daily dose of propaganda. In other words, we're propagating ideas and reinforcing ideologies, and you've got to know that you are standing firm for the right reasons. The next video is titled Why We Are Afraid, a 1400-year secret by Dr. Bill Warner. Now, I know right now there's somebody in the audience going, we're not supposed to live in fear. I don't like that title right off the bat. I'm not going to – hold on. Let me retitle this for you. This is a 1400-year secret why Trump is right on his immigration and refugee policy. Let's change it. We are not fearful. What we should be fearful of is God. We should – fearfully serve the Lord. Why do we fear the Lord? Because he is a just and righteous God. And we cannot rebel against him without consequence. We should fear God's justice when we are acting in a way that is deserving of his justice. And that is how the United States has been acting in rebellion against God as a nation. I believe that the Christians in America, on their knees, fasting and praying, has saved, has given us a temporary reprieve, which is why Trump is in office right now. I believe that. He granted us what I did not expect him to, because we didn't deserve it. We are afraid, but we're not afraid of Muslims. We're not afraid of Islam. We're not afraid of liberals. We are afraid of God's justice and how he could use Muslims and the takeover of the West and America to carry out his justice against a rebellious nation. But the true title of this now should be Why Trump is Right on His Immigration and Refugee Policy by Dr. Bill Warner. Of course, this was a couple of years old. This is way before anybody ever thought it was a remote possibility for Trump to become president. And then there's another one, a must watch, 1400 years of Islam history in just a few minutes. And this is done by Bridget Gabriel, Christian, who escaped, lived in, not Palestine, Palestinian, the country north of Israel. Why I'm drawing a blank. Lebanon. Came face to face with terrorists, living as a Christian under Islam. Excellent, excellent testimony and mandatory. Those are your three videos that you're going to watch this week, and we're going to post those. We'll be back in just a minute with Radio Free Redoubt, covering more on this topic when we come back. Stay right there.
Adams said, "If you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contests of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are our countrymen." These bold words were a scathing rebuke against his fellow countrymen, who preferred to let tyranny prevail for a few handouts from the crown. I echo Mr. Adams' timeless sentiments. Sadly, today, we are once again surrounded by fellow countrymen who have lost their will to continue in the contest of freedom and have determined to become slaves for the tranquil lives they hold more dear than the liberty they've squandered. And as an American, I struggle to call them my countrymen. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt.
And we're back with segment two, brought to you by RiverfrontSuites.com, Patriot-owned business. Right on the St. Joe River outside of St. Mary's, Idaho. Go to riverfrontsuites.com if you need to get away. Beautiful place there. Okay, now, just in the last few minutes that we have to wrap this stuff up, we're talking about Islam not all Muslims are a threat. Not all Muslims are terrorists. But as Islam has grown inside of each culture historically, they become increasingly hostile. And there's been a plan for a long time that was recently exposed not too long ago. The Muslim Brotherhood, and of course, you know, working with CARE, an unindicted conspirator in, well, let me just read this. The Muslim Brotherhood's strategic plan for North America was closely held secret until the FBI discovered it during a 2004 raid of a house in Annandale, Virginia. Agents discovered a secret basement containing internal Ikhwan documents, including the strategic plan titled An Explanatory Memorandum on the General Strategic Goal for the Group. The strategic plan was written by a member of the board of directors for the Muslim Brotherhood in North America and senior Hamas leader named Muhammad Akram, and was approved by the Brotherhood's Shura Council and organizational conference in 1987. The plan establishes the mission of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslim Brother in North America, in this following passage. Listen to this. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process, with all the word means. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion, Islam, is made victorious over all other religions. This is a strategic plan to infiltrate the West through what they called civilization jihad process by settling Muslims here. And Obama and his administration was complicit in this. As you've seen, the numbers grow, they become increasingly hostile. And you're going to see more evidence of that in the documentation that I gave you. Now, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., I'm going to finish this topic because there's some things that are very important, especially as Christians. What about the sanctuary cities, this whole battle that's going on right now? As Christians, aren't we supposed to take in and defend the sojourner? We're supposed to feed them. The Bible says, do not mistreat the sojourner, the person passing through, the foreigner, because you were foreigners yourself in Egypt. Whoa, this changes everything, doesn't it? We're supposed to now take them in. Well, actually, we're supposed to rightly divide the word and apply the word in its proper context. We're going to talk about that tomorrow and more. Don't miss it. I've got something special in store for you tomorrow night at RadioFreeRedoubt.com, 8 p.m. Join us there. You all have a blessed weekend. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too.